headline.
Do you have crippling anxiety when you see pictures of starving polar bears on melting icebergs?
Are you shaking your fists at every new threat to bodily autonomy?
If you answered yes to these questions, we have an answer for you. Her Turn, WORT's Feminist News, airs every Sunday at 11 a.m., and the Collective is looking for new volunteers to join us.
No previous experience needed, just a commitment to feminist news and a willingness to bring more women's voices to the radio. Call 608-256-2001 and say you want to volunteer on Her Turn.
Turn your anger into action. Turn your anxiety into hopefulness. Turn your discouragement into power. Volunteer with Her Turn right here on WORT Madison and make your woman's voice heard.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Query. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Vicki Kenyon. I use she, her pronouns. We're so glad you're here tonight. I got a sidekick with me tonight.
Hi, everybody. This is Kat Rhapsody. I also use they, them pronouns, and I'm happy to be here on Query with you tonight.
Hey, let's start things off since it's a pledge drive show. Well, let's ring the bell.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We got a new pledge.
Great. We have a pledge from Nancy Garnier.
Yes. First time pledger, long time listener.
And looks like we are going with the Progressive Magazine subscription. Congrats on that. And thank you for your donation. First time, which means it is going to be
matched. Yeah. Yeah, we have a matching donor tonight. So thanks, Nancy, for your donation.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
And Nancy's favorite shows, of course, Query.
Yes.
Democracy Now.
Yes.
And This Way Out.
Yep. Those are definitely the top three. Thanks, Nancy.
Appreciate you.
Okay. So we have a lot going on our show tonight. We'll talk about some more pledge drive stuff in a little bit. Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford has been a host of this show in the past. You might recognize that name. Dina's also been an alder of the 15th ward for 2 years. She was the first openly trans elected official in Madison. Dina has decided not to run for re-election this year, and I spoke with her recently about that decision. I wanted to play that interview for you. So here's me and Dina talking about all the things. Hello, friends. Vicki Kenyon here. We're coming into the next race for alder positions here in Madison, coming up in April. And really, the race is starting to heat up, and we're hearing from candidates. There's one race in particular for the 15th district where the incumbent has made a decision to not seek re-election. And I just wanted to hear from Dina about the reasons why. So, Dina, can you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, thank you. I am Alder Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford. I was elected 2 years ago to be the first transgender woman to hold office in Madison, in Dane County. I have been a comedian, an activist, and a community organizer since I can remember, and this has been probably some of the most meaningful experiences that I've had since I was born.
You've had some pretty significant accomplishments in the 2 years that you've held office around housing and affordable housing and the way that we consider credit and things like that in affordable housing. You mm-hmm. want to talk about some of the successes that you've had?
Yeah. So one of the first things that I was very excited to do was when I got elected, I was placed on the Community Development Block Grant Committee, which approves a lot of affordable housing and public projects. So I asked Lynette Rhodes, who is currently the interim deputy director for the Department of Planning and Community Development. And I was like, can we ask developers not to consider credit score when we approve projects? And she goes, absolutely. And so I would ask that, but immediately she added that as a requirement for every RFP that came out over the next 2 years. And she also added incarceral history, not to be a qualifying requirement. So I am grateful that my lived experience gave me that idea and that our city was so willing to cooperate. And of course, our transgender sanctuary city status. But a lot of the things that I've been working on are not legislative. They've been, you know, community partnerships, working with organizations and businesses to try to provide more emergency shelter for people seeking shelter from intimate partner violence. So that's where I've been focused on.
Hyper-local change that makes a big difference in putting roofs over people's heads and keeping them safe, which feels like the job of an alder.
Wow.
Wow.
Imagine.
Well done. You've done some really great stuff. So I'll just assume that since you had started down the road of seeking re-election, that you were interested, and then something changed, and we probably can guess what that is. But what was the ultimate deciding factor for you in not seeking re-election? I saw on social media, like lots of your friends and constituents did probably, that you decided not to run because you had two major life events going on. Yeah. I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but tell us what led to the decision to step out.
Yeah, I realized in the middle of it, when I was already exhausted from all the history happening, that I have a medical procedure that's coming up that will require downtime. And I will be moving from the house that I'm in, not knowing if I can find a house in our district or, you know, housing in our district that I can afford or that's available. So I, you know, with being in not sure, I decided to that the best interest of both all of my constituents as well as myself to dismiss my campaign or suspend my campaign.
Yeah. It's important to be taking care of yourself. And if you can't take care of yourself, you really can't do good for others.
Yeah. And I mean, any life event like moving or medical procedure, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Without an intense job, without, you know, our federal government trying to erase our identity.
Right.
And I hope everybody realizes that's not hyperbolic anymore.
No.
It's never been hyperbolic.
Yeah, it's never really been hyperbolic. And now for sure it's not hyperbolic, right?
So I know a lot of people are disappointed. A lot of trans people are disappointed. But the vast majority of people understand that my work doesn't stop here just because I'm not an elected official. My work continues. The work of the people, the work of protecting trans and queer people, protecting immigrants that are scared for their lives, doing what I can for those who are in housing right now and feel stable that may not in a few months or a few weeks or a few years. So yeah, my work doesn't stop, but I've got to take care of myself for a bit so that I can have the energy to return and really plug back in when I need it.
I'm certain
when
that
I need it most.
Yeah, I'm certain that you'll take time off to heal and recover in the way you need to, but I know that you'll continue to make an impact here in Madison and wherever the future takes you. You're not a person to sit back and watch things pass you by. So I know that you'll be a person of action regardless of what's ahead for you. So what do you see as the future for yourself?
I don't have a plan for the future. I don't have a vision of the future. What I have is commitment to people I love, commitment to community, commitment to doing the work. So with or without a plan, that's what happens.
Yeah.
I don't know what's next. And, but I do know that whatever it is requires protecting, humanizing, and caring for people.
Mm-hmm. In the way that you can and always will, right?
In the way that I can and always will.
So do you have a message for the folks who are running for alder now? And what about just like local politicians in general?
Mm-hmm. I would say, think about the most vulnerable and protecting them so that when our friends and neighbors become the most vulnerable, that there are ways to protect them sooner and quicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this sounds cheesy, but you have got to love each other and you've got to care for one another and you've got to realize that we all belong to each other.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the big message. We all belong to each other.
We all belong to each other. We are seeing now more than ever how any decision that we as a country or any other country makes affects not only us, everyone around us. And because we are so connected as a species, it impacts the world.
Right. Yeah. Even the smallest decision can have global implications, right?
Yeah. And we are not the most important.
We sure think we are, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do something good for someone today.
Small, random act of kindness. Try it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dina. We appreciate all that you've done for Madison, and we cannot wait to see what you do next. Hey, Kat, let's talk about pledges for a minute.
Hey, let's get on that.
Okay, cool. So it's a pledge drive. I'm sure that all of our listeners are not surprised to hear us say that. We've got a cool thing tonight. Anybody who is a new donor or who is coming back and has not donated in 2 years or more, your donations are going to be matched. So we're excited to see what happens this evening. Kat, what are we using the money for from this pledge drive? Do you remember?
What aren't we using it for? Exterior.
Yeah.
Outterior things for the studio.
Yeah.
I think as we've talked about, we used to have a really old board. Now we have a really nice new board thanks to
yes.
the last summer drive. So every bit helps helps everybody here at Wart.
Yeah.
Keep her moving.
Yeah, you know, my favorite part about Wart is that this place is full of volunteers, and there's only, I think, 7 paid staff members here at WORT. The rest of us are volunteers, so it's a huge group of people who love being here, love volunteering, love engineering and hosting and all the things, and that's all possible because we can count on our community for donations. I like, you know, this is a cool place to learn stuff, too.
I've learned so much already.
Tell us some of the things you've learned.
What to say and what not to say on air.
That's the most important radio 101 lesson. I love that. So give us a call. You can reach us on the phones at 608-256-2001. Vicky is waiting, standing by, waiting for your call. Not me. Another human named Vicky, who's just as amazing. Or you can hop online. You can go to WORTFM.org and find that orange donate button and fill out the form, and you can donate right online there with your credit card if that's the easiest thing to do. So we have some other things to talk about tonight.
We've got a lot of things to talk about.
Let's talk about Iowa.
What about Iowa, Vicky? What's going on with Iowa?
Do you remember when we used to love Iowa?
Yeah.
Well, I do. You might not, but I do. We used to love Iowa because they were the third state to make marriage equality a law. So in 2004, Massachusetts made marriage equality law. In 2008, California, with our friends Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris, made it law. And then in 2009, it became law in Iowa. And I remember this because I had friends that lived in Iowa and were super excited that they could get married before me in Illinois, even when I lived in Illinois. So we used to love Iowa. That officially changed last week.
Well, we still love our neighbors there, but yes, as far as the representatives that are misrepresenting their constituents, it feels like a huge betrayal. Because not only... So we're talking about a bill that just passed through the House of Representatives in Iowa. Iowa's officially the first state to approve legislation removing gender identity protections from the state's civil rights code. This started in the last week of February. So it was introduced to the floor on the 21st of February, and it was literally decided on within a week. They pushed it through within a week. And it's not enough time for people to like hear about it, know about it, learn its like its verbiage to, you know, really get to know what it is that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
So to push something through like that through within a week doesn't give anybody a chance to, I don't know, have an opinion or go to the courthouse to, you know, take a stance.
Yeah. Right? I heard that in the hearing on the 27th, when they were going to decide if it was passing, there were 167 people signed up to testify that day. The hearing was only 90 minutes long. All except for 24 of the 167 people were opposed to the bill being passed. Very few of them testified. You were talking about a video you saw of how loud it was and you couldn't hear people. And
yes.
It got
two people were detained for quote unquote unruliness, so they were carted off by law enforcement.
Yeah, so they voted on it. It passed the Senate, it passed the House, and the governor signed it the very next day.
So what is it specifically? It is a bill that removes gender identity from the Iowa Civil Rights Act, which includes it provides protections for discrimination in housing, education, employment, wages, public accommodations, and even credit practices. And this was floor managed by Representative Stephen Holt. Iowa's current civil rights law protects against discrimination based on race, color, creed, gender identity, sex, sexual orientation, religion, national origin, or disability status. So this is just kind of jarring that we're starting here.
Yeah.
And I think there is like this preconceived notion that, oh, it's not going to affect me, but it is going to affect all Iowans in the long run. It's just we're very focused on queer and transgender people right now on a national basis. So Iowa is leading the way, and that's very unfortunate because it is going to light a fire underneath the other states that are also looking to roll back protections like this.
Yeah, when something like this happens in one state, it sets precedents, and then other states can say Iowa has set precedents. So it strengthens the argument in other states. I saw an interview with Representative Amy Wichendahl. She is the first openly transgender person elected to the Iowa legislature. You were telling me that she got kicked out of her rental home after she transitioned, and
yes,
now she's a representative there.
Yes.
But she was saying in an interview on the Des Moines Register's website that her constituents are asking her, okay, who's next? You know, and it feels like a clear path to what is next. And she mentioned also in the interview that this legislation essentially codifies, in air quotes, separate but equal. And that means a very real impact on communities of color, not just the LGBT community, but it's going to affect all of us.
It's going to bleed into other aspects and other diverse groups that live within Iowa. I have Amy Wichendahl quoted here. The purpose of this bill and the purpose of every anti-trans bill is to further erase us from public life and to stigmatize our existence. I think that is incredibly accurate, and I feel like conservatives will look at that and scoff.
Yeah, I agree completely. A few weeks ago, I had a really in-depth conversation with Abigail Sweats from Fair Wisconsin and Tyrone Creech from GSAVE. And they were both saying and agreed with one another that this anti-trans legislation that's popping up all over the place is a distraction. It's meant to create a distraction. Look at this, so you don't pay attention to what else is going on. It's hard not to pay attention to what else is going on, but this is definitely a distraction. You know, you can imagine that the Democrats in Iowa were opposed to the bill. They were not happy with how fast things were going. People really didn't have a chance to get their ducks in a row to come to the table and talk about it. There's a quote from Representative Ross Wilburn. He's a Democrat. He has a trans son, and the son has believed to move out of the state because of the increase in this type of legislation. I mean, representatives' kids are leaving the state.
A lot of people are leaving the state right now.
And country. I have friends who have left the country. They sold their home. Their parents sold their home. They have left the country. And you heard in that interview with Dina just now, she's trying to figure out where she's going next. You know, there's a lot of fear, and it's now, here it is, it's law to make people afraid.
Yes. I actually have a quote here from Representative Ross Wilburn. I came to the legislation to create opportunity, not to take away civil rights from any group of people. Don't open this door. Leave the civil rights code intact. But what is the obsession? What is the obsession?
It's the smallest minutia of people to pick on who they feel can't fight back because it's such a small group of people. And, you know, a friend of mine, a queer friend of mine and I were talking at an event recently about how hate is started, how people start getting people to hate. And what he said makes total sense, and this is exactly what's happening, is you find the smallest minority of people, and you find a thing about them that you can turn disgusting through rhetoric and false statements, and then it just grows. And that's what's happened here.
And then they just run with it.
Yeah, and it just goes and goes.
Keenan Crow, Director of Policy and Advocacy for LGBTQ plus Advocacy Group One Iowa in Iowa, said that the organization is still analyzing the text of this bill and that its vagueness makes it hard to determine where the enforcement is going to come from. Senator Matt Blake of Democrat of Urbandale said that the bill would subject all Iowans to new levels of discrimination, whether they are trans or simply appear too masculine or too feminine. That's why the vagueness of this bill and the wording makes it so dangerous. So me, look at me. I have short hair and I kind of dress like a guy. Am I? No, but I would be subject to discrimination based solely on how I look right now in this moment.
Right.
In Iowa.
And to the point you made just a second ago, how are they enforcing this? How are they policing our bodies?
This? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little hard to take.
It's a scary slope.
It's very hard to take. So one of the reasons that Kat and I wanted to talk about this tonight is because Kat and the Hurricane are planning a tour, a spring tour, and they have dates planned in Iowa.
Yep.
So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Kat and the Hurricane, my band, we are going to be in Dubuque, Iowa, on March 21st at the Lift. And it's just, it makes me wonder, like, will we, in a scenario like this, like, could we be barred from performing as openly queer and trans non-binary individuals? Like, none of us identify with the gender that we were assigned at birth. But does that mean it's okay for people in Iowa to openly discriminate against us? I don't know if you've ever heard of the term called malicious compliance, but I will read it for you now.
Wait, before you read it, think of both Iowa and Stonewall in terms of malicious compliance. Go ahead, tell us what it is.
Malicious compliance is the behavior of strictly following the orders of a superior, despite knowing that compliance with the orders will have an unintended or negative result. It usually implies following an order in such a way that ignores or otherwise undermines the order's intent, but follows it to the letter. Y'all, I'm going to wear a dress for this show. And I'm going to tell you right now, nobody wants to see me in a dress. But if you really want me to show up to places in public dressed as the gender that I was assigned to at birth, it's not going to be a pretty sight. Let me wear my sweater. Let me wear my jeans. Let me be. Like, leave our bodies alone. Stop policing our bodies.
Yeah, it's just unfathomable. And, you know, as Dina and I were saying, when we were talking, it's not hyperbolic. It's happening.
No, it's quite literal. But a positive note is that nearly 2,500 people visited the Capitol in Iowa on that Thursday, according to the Des Moines Register, which is a huge turnout, where a usual day would look like maybe 500 or 600 people. So
you said 2,500?
2,500 people.
Wow.
And I'm assuming some people from out of state in the neighboring states as well came to stand with their fellow Iowans.
It's so important to be present for those things when we can. If we have a voice, we need to use our voice. What else do you want to say about this?
Just how unfortunate that this is the first time that Iowa has removed a protective class from civil rights protection in its entire history.
I mean,
it's not a badge of honor. I think that that's what they think that it is.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah, I read an interview with the governor after she signed it about why she signed it, and her reasoning was completely ridiculous. It's not even worth getting into. It doesn't make any sense. They say they're trying to protect people from other people, but the opposite is going to happen.
Right. I have one quick last thing here. Chelsea Miller Bailey, a board member with the LGBTQ rights group called One Iowa, said that the bill's supporters are trumping up dangerous and inaccurate stereotypes. And she quotes, "We've already heard this week that trans folks are dangerous in spaces like bathrooms. And I can think of a time not too long ago where the same rhetoric was said about black people like me, that we couldn't use bathrooms, locker rooms, access fair health care, or own land because of what is also a biological difference." She then follows that up with, "It was wrong in the same way that this bill is wrong."
Yeah, that I'm just going to say, period.
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 It's the same. It's different, but it's the same.
It's different. Yeah. And I don't understand why we're going backwards. Well, I do understand why.
We do and we don't.
Yes. Okay. We want to talk more about this, and I think that we'll follow this story closely and just sort of see what develops as a result, both in Iowa and across the country. I feel like this is the very beginning of a giant snowball.
Yeah. If you're feeling concerned, you could call a representative.
You should. We talked about five calls on the show a few weeks ago. Just Google five calls, the number five, and calls. And you can download the app, and it will help you make some cool decisions on some action to take on a very local level.
You don't even have to be from the state of Iowa to call up and just,
yes,
you know, state your preference on what they're doing. And that
I think you
wrong.
Could also be calling your own representatives locally and express your concern about what's happening in Iowa.
Call Tony Evers. Tell him,
that makes sense.
You see what Iowa is doing? We will have none of that here.
And he will say, "I agree."
Yes, because Tony's great.
So on that note, we're going to wrap up Query and do a little pledge drive. Ring the bell. We have a new donor.
Ring, ring, ring.
Hey, we have a new donor. Thank you, new donor, who is anonymous, but I know who you are. Thank you for your amazingly generous donation. And you are getting a new t-shirt, also a long sleeve blue royal shirt. Did you see those shirts? They're really cool.
They're pretty slick.
It's an old, WORT poster that they made into, a t-shirt for this pledge drive. You know, we're celebrating the 50 anniversary
years
of being on the air here. So thank you, donor. We appreciate you and your amazing donation. And also new donor, by the way. So thanks for being a first-time donor. I don't see any new favorite shows, but
well,
I know this human.
Obviously, it's Query.
I know this human, and I feel safe saying that they really like Query. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We are really looking forward to hearing from you by phone. You can talk to Vicky. That's not me. That's our receptionist, Vicky. The number out there is 608-256-2001. Or you can hop online to donate. The website is wortfm.org. /donate, or just hop on the homepage and click that orange button with a heart on it, put in your deets, and we'll thank you on the air. Thanks everyone for joining us on Query. Stay tuned now for This Way Out.
Take care of each other.
In a time crunch, no time to read the paper, it's easy to stay informed on the latest breaking news in Madison and beyond. Just subscribe to WORT Local News Podcast. Our volunteer reporters are on standby to investigate the latest news in our community. That includes protests.
Right! You'll need it! Cause will be defeated!
Our bodies! Our lives! Our right to decide!
For the parks, for the birds! For the trees, for the parks, for the birds!
Local politics.
I believe that this subpoena is a mockery.
Well, my initial reaction is always like, what truth are they talking about?
Arts and culture.
There just aren't very many oak savannas left, but they're a very unique, beautiful landscape to walk through.
As you can tell, quite a bit about a watch by winding it and setting it.
And everything in between. New episodes are available every Monday through Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, from Apple Podcasts to Spotify. Just search for the WORT Local News. Bringing you local news and information since 1975, this is WORT Madison.
Even though we're living in such different political climates and like just different cultural times, I think there's so many things that we can look back on and take inspiration from on how to organize now and how to like find our community and surround ourselves with our